Ali C.
America Tonight, the name of this show. Coming up, Newt Gingrich in the War of Words says, pretty much, Mitt Romney, you don't win at Michigan. Really, are you fit to be president and grab the Republican side of this thing in the race against Obama in 2012? He masked it in that anybody running should win their home state, and if they can't, they're not really worth their salt. Of course, he's safe in saying that, realizing that Romney's up against, in recent polls, Michigan's primary, which is on the 28th, pretty much looks like a two-man race between Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney. Notice no Newt Gingrich in there. I'm telling you, if he could jump in a ring and have Mitt Romney's hands tied behind his back and throw a few punches, I think Newt Gingrich would probably do that. And I think there's a few other people that might want to do that. So in the end, sometimes the Republicans show that they eat their own. I don't know if this is a good thing in the quest to ultimately knock off the incumbent guy who is doing nothing but raising money and trying to spread that goodwill. All right, speaking of spreading goodwill, there was a lot of debate over the coverage of Whitney Houston's funeral. You might have seen it. If you didn't, you probably weren't on the internet over the weekend or watched zero news, because everywhere I looked, including throughout all of Monday, I saw snippets of different people addressing the people that were there, eulogizing Whitney Houston, addressing the people in the church in New Jersey. And probably the one that was the most prominent was Kevin Costner. They kept showing the cuts of him where he had gotten kind of choked up talking about Whitney Houston and her talent. So now she's officially laid to rest, and a lot of things are up for sale, actually, of Whitney Houston's. That's what happens. She was popular, made a lot of money, had trouble sustaining the popularity like everybody else with her 15 plus minutes, even when you're a well-known singer, an iconic kind of singer, because she had that fame. She got the fame bug, and then it burns out, and then it comes back again. It looked like she was a little bit on the rise. A lot of friends thought so. So here's what some of that eulogizing sounded like.
We called Whitney illegal because she would just do stuff. You know, not because she was Whitney Houston, the star, but she was this mischievous little girl from New Jersey, looking over at her mother and looking at Bobby Chris and seeing her being satisfied. Just the outpour of love that came from everyone for her little girl.
All right, that was the Reverend Marvin Wienans, who was talking about Whitney, you heard there, and talking about her daughter, which, for the whole thing, that's the saddest deal for anyone who's left behind, but especially a kid, because she's just 18 years old. So, Houston's dress and earrings, you know, every once in a while we talk about what stuff is worth on this show, because if the famous quote, but it's worth what you're going to pay for it. But the dress and the earrings, I bet you they're going to get a lot of money. A celebrity auctioneer guy, Darren Julian, said that the pieces and some other items became available after she died, and including some other long-planned sale from some other movie stars. So now that's thrown in there. It'll go to the highest bidder. A black velvet dress and the earrings she wore for that movie, The Bodyguard. Yep, The Bodyguard. All right, so Rick Santorum is running high on, more than oxygen, on the fact that he has now all of a sudden really, 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 really risen in the polls and is getting a lot of media attention. That's also key. a ton of media attention. And he's come out with some interesting statements lately, not sticking just to the jobs and the 1% versus the 99% and capitalism and the familiar themes, but and also the contraceptive issue with the health care, with our current health care policy. But he's come out also swinging against President Obama's policies that he says are based on phony theology. He said on Sunday, and there was a lot of blowback on this, that he was referencing Obama's capitulation, there's a $10 word, to environmentalists on issues like global warming, which he said were not scientifically proven. He was on CBS's Face the Nation, and he said that man should be good stewards of the earth, but not necessarily serve the earth. He said that man is here to use the resources and use them wisely, I'm going to quote Santorum, to care for the earth, to be a steward for the earth, but we're not here to serve the earth. The earth is not the objective. Man is the objective. So you got the gist here. And Santorum threw this in at the end, saying the debate over global warming is problematic because it's not scientifically proven, as I just mentioned. And when you have a worldview that elevates the earth above man, you allow for government overreach. Do you think he missed his mark when he was saying that, or did he score some big points? I think that people like that, like Rick Santorum, don't care. They're not worried about that. And I think that people that don't like Rick Santorum can easily jump on this. They can easily go after him. And the question then becomes, does he hurt his chances? I mean, that's the bigger thing. Does he hurt his chances of, you know, with this distraction of grabbing the nomination because he goes off on a tangent where maybe, you know, you talk so much that sometimes I think they're reaching for things. You're out there, you're campaigning, you're reaching. And maybe he was, reaching, but maybe not. He's a fundamentalist Christian, and so he wouldn't believe in science necessarily. Of course, that wouldn't be in Santorum's wheelhouse. That's not what he would believe in. I think if you just go by that, it makes sense in his world. And then this whole thing with science, proven, unproven, whatever it is scientifically, and then global climate, you either think yay or you think nay, and you think it's pumped up. And that's what he's playing to. I think it's real. I don't think he's making this stuff up. I think it's real. But does it hurt his chances or not when he strays from the main thing that people care about? What are the top three things? You got to think about this. What are the top three things that you'd want to hear from anyone who's running for president? I'd run from president too. What are the top three things that you want to hear? How are you going to keep the economy going in the right direction? Would be number one on my list. And are you going to come up with a budget that slashes the outrageous deficit? Would be number two on the list. How about you? 1-800-259-5791. Meet you in five. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Long Range Patrol Ration Entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. Open up a beer and you stick it over here and play a video game. I'm in a spare sundress, watching me get undressed, take that body downtown. I say you're the bestest, leaning for a big kiss, put a spare perfume on. Play a video game. It's you, it's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you want.
You know, speaking of Alive, that you just heard in that song there about video games, maybe we should make the race to become president more than about the obvious issues that we've been talking about. Even if they stray and go off that third rail like Rick Santorum did on Obama there over the weekend, maybe there needs to be a competition of mental strength, like angry with birds, words with friends, video games. Yeah, that has to be a category. How good are you at video games? Then there could be like a strongman competition. What do you guys think? So, in other words, you could have different obstacle courses and things set up. You know, after all, it was Ron Paul who said in South Carolina that he was, with his help when he was asked about his age, that he was willing to take on anyone on the stage when it came to a bike ride. That he would, it sounds pretty much like he would leave them in the dust. So he threw down the gauntlet, after all, for physical competition. So you could do a combination of, okay, here's the real issues, here's the top five. And then, or the top three, like I was suggesting, what are the top three? Forget all the other stuff and all the nonsense that comes out. Just the top three things you care about. Throw in video gaming as an attribute. Throw in other competitions of an obstacle course, physical prowess, and maybe you combine all the things and that's how we end up picking. Anymore, it seems like, why not? Let's just spitball this thing and come up with a better way to do this when we have non-uniform elections. We have a democratic process, which is great, but it is like we live in a banana republic. No offense to anyone who may be listening to me in a banana republic, but it's like, why do you go one place and then the votes are miscounted and you go some other place and then it's a question of machinery or a question of how many dead people are still on the voting rolls? Yeah, there's a few things that I think we could iron out. Well, Senator Chuck Schumer doesn't seem to be worried about re-election after re-election after re-election because it always happens for him. He's the long-time senator from the state of New York. And he was part of the committee talking about these caffeine shots, questioning, you know, these having kids drink caffeine shots. Take a listen.
What about kids who go to bars and take several shots of Aero Shot so they can drink more? To take a whole cup of coffee to get a shot of caffeine is a lot more difficult than just snorting. And you can snort five of these in a row. This product asks more questions than we have answers. And to have it on our shelves before those answers are given is a serious, serious, serious mistake.
All right, I think he said it. A serious, serious, serious mistake. Matt, do you know anybody who does those shots?
I do not, but, like, I mean, I was just saying earlier about doing five-hour energy and going out. So it's a similar deal. I understand where the senator is coming from, but at the same time, it's caffeine. So I don't know. I'm not... I think there's a little bit of overreaching and over-controlling when it comes to a lot of these things. And I know there's another bill out there, like a similar bill with the synthetic drugs.
Yes.
That, and the only one to oppose it was Rand Paul. And it comes back to, with the legal and illegal drug issue, if you make something illegal, there will always be someone out there, because there's a market for it, to try to make something to duplicate it, and it might not be as safe, but there's ways around it. And it just comes back to the drug war has just kind of failed. And I know that's a little bit of a tangent that went on there, but it irritates me with the overregulation of certain things and the quick jump to just ban everything.
No, I agree with you, because the more you ban, then eventually, here's what happens. Matt makes a very, very good point. The more you ban certain things, and he's right, using the word overreach, eventually when you say you don't care, who cares if they're doing this caffeine shot, oh, whatever. But then eventually what happens is your number comes up, and whatever it is that you have, that you like, that you take, that you don't think is a big deal, then it becomes a big deal. Then it becomes a bill. People are talking about it. Then it becomes a law, and suddenly you're not so happy about it. It's that whole idea of where do you want government in your space, and what do you think is overstepping the boundaries? And if you let the line get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, eventually it's right on top of you. And that's why I say this all the time, and if you get nothing else out of hearing me pontificate here and there, the thing that you need to pay attention to is what's happening with our government. What you're hearing, what you're reading, what you'll see, the snippets of senators like Chuck Schumer. So you know what's happening with online piracy and trying to regulate the internet or caffeine shots or whatever it might be. If you bury your head in the sand, then you cannot be an effective we the people. It's power to the people. And the more of us who are paying attention with eyes wide open, the better it is for the better it is for everybody. All right, speaking of being better for everybody, who doesn't like Fat Tuesday? Ever been to Mardi Gras? Oh, Mardi Gras is one of those propositions where I think it's fun to go. You have to go at least once in your life, or go to New Orleans, But I don't know if I could do it every year. The crowds now have gotten back there, and they are so big. But listen to the revelers here.
Everyone's so friendly. We're from New York, so we're not used to that sort of friendliness. But it's great. I'm really happy. And, yeah, let's party.
Every float's got something to say, and this is the best way to express it.
Yeah, every float has something to say, like, give me some beads now. This is the pre-stuff. Because, really, for a week's, maybe a week, week and a half, it's almost like a practice run. You could go and you'll see parades. There'll be parades, little, and it's not the Mardi Gras. It's not Fat Tuesday, but it's like the warm-up act, I guess. And the warm-up act, actually, I truly believe, no offense to New Orleans, it's better to go to the warm-up act. Do Mardi Gras once, but once is enough, and you want to go back to New Orleans, but I don't know, we want to go back on Mardi Gras. It gets confusing, jammed. It is bodies on top of bodies on top of bodies, and if you lose someone in the French Quarter, good luck trying to meet up with them somewhere. You'd have to have a place where you say, I'll meet you here if somehow we miss each other, because it's that elbow to elbow, which it's different if you go on a weekend where it's not Mardi Gras and you get a chance to really experience the flavor of New Orleans. But Fat Tuesday is a good reason to have a party in the middle of the week. It just depends on when you're working. That's the thing. It just depends. So now it feels like that city is turning around, has turned a corner after Hurricane Katrina. Still, there are a lot of devastated places, but not like it was three, even 2 years ago. There are people that are coming there for Mardi Gras, and there are people that are spending money in the French Quarter. They're going out to restaurants, staying in the hotels. So that's a very, very good thing for that city. So Fat Tuesday, that's when everything crescendos out of control. It's one of the biggest free parties in the world, and it is a multi-million dollar industry for the city of New Orleans and can be just the lifeblood of so many of them. 400 floats at least going through the streets. You know what the impact is? They say $500 million. Woo, that's a lot of bread.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, oregacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
She won't give it up until you give her just about enough.
It's been so tough here in America tonight because we don't have football anymore. We miss football. We miss our Nail the Score segments. So we're very thrilled to welcome to the show Jordan Pugh. He plays for the Carolina Panthers, and you're going to love this. I mean, this guy is the everyman. He's the dime, the strong, the free safety. He's everything. And if you remember him from Texas A&M, boy, he certainly thrilled a lot of people during those years. And now, as I said, he's played for the Carolina Panthers for a couple of years and now heading into his third year. Jordan, thanks for jumping on America Tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be on.
Hey, you know, I said there in the beginning, I was talking about all the positions that you play, the different scenarios with safety. How do you like that? Do you like mixing it up, getting the opportunity in a lot of different packages and stuff?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, you love playing all the different positions, and it's good to be used as a player like that, man. It really, you get to learn the defense through every aspect, really, through every position. You know, being both safeties, the dime, nickel, even possible corner, you get to know the ins and outs, and that just makes you a better player as a whole.
Yeah. If you go after being drafted and then getting in the system, do you feel like now you really have your sea legs, you know the guys, you've been with the team, you know what you expect of yourself, but what everybody else around you expects? Is it good to get a couple of years under your belt?
Oh, definitely, because the comfort level, you can't help but get more comfortable as the years go on. You know, of course, you get to know your teammates on a deeper level. You get the chemistry down with them, you know, as a unit, as a group. And it's just good. And just the overall comfort level is different from my rookie year up to now. It's kind of been there and done that scenario, if you can get that. So it's good.
Now, I got to ask you this question. I don't know how you, when you make the transition from college to the pros, I don't know how you guys read those playbooks. I have to tell you this. One time, Emmett Smith let me take a little teensy peek at the playbook, and he said, you decipher this. And I had no idea that it was that difficult. And I think people listening to us, honestly, even football fans, as crazy as we are about the game, if you never played, especially at the college level or the pro level, but making that transition, do you feel like a doctor, like you're memorizing all this stuff, and you got to be good at that, right? Because you got to be where you are on the field when they're looking for you. You got to know, you know, who are you covering? What do you do in this case scenario? Was how tough is it to do that?
Oh man, you know, that's funny bringing back memories to my first day of training camp. you know, you get the playbook and you don't realize how big it is. You know, you get there and you carry around this 5-pound book. You know, you have to be able to break it down. You know, especially coming from college to pro level, it's so much extra detail. And especially being, you know, at the professional level and say particularly a position like safety where you have to know, where other players, especially linebackers, D-linemen need to align. It's so, you know, meticulous in detail, how the playbook is laid out. And when you first get it, it's almost overwhelming. It's like, man, how can I figure all this out in the short period of time that you give me? But, you know, that's where, you know, studying comes into play. You know, you have to study, you give with the older guys, you give with the veteran guys to help break it down. And it eventually comes along. You know, you get the transition and you just learn and go from there. And it's kind of a trial and error when you first get there. But then you get used to it and you just start playing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, everyone says this, too, and I used to travel with the Cowboys, so I saw when I was on the field how fast things moved, and I was really surprised. I guess I shouldn't say I was surprised, but I was trying to make that leap to the speed of the game. So everybody talks about the speed of the game. It's just so much more. Is that true? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
As far as speed of the game, I get that question asked a lot. I think the biggest thing about the speed of the game is this, is, you know, everybody's big, everybody's fast, and everybody's strong. But it goes back to what we talked about with the playbook, is knowing and understanding what you're doing. That makes you even faster. And the one thing that I learned being on the pro level so far is, you know, the thing that separates one player from another is how detailed you are as far as game planning and your preparation. Because, you know, like I said before, everybody's big, fast, and strong, so that little minor detail can separate you from making the play and not making the play, and that in turn makes the game faster. And so, you know, with that question, I think it's more of the preparation level and the detail when it comes to your position, your assignment, and that's what makes you faster.
Yeah. You know, and you certainly know this, as you say, getting to know the team and the guys. You got a bunch of A&Mers on the team, so go Aggies. That's got to make you feel comfortable, huh?
Oh, yeah, of course. When you got a guy, you know, a team full of guys you play with, especially me and Gushin. We knew each other because we played with each other down there. And it brings another comfort level being on the team.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And he's a crack-up, too, isn't he? He's known to be kind of that guy that busts chops.
Oh, yeah. He's always been that way. He was that way at Texas A&M. He's that way now. You know, that's just his personality.
Yeah. What do you guys make of all the conference switching, you know, like the Big 12, and you think of, I think of the rivalries. I think of A&M and Texas. I mean, that. Thank goodness for you, because you were part of that whole thing. But now, as that is fading into the rearview mirror, how'd you feel about all that going on?
Well, when I first heard about it, I guess you could say I was almost in shock. You know, it was more of, wow, we really are going to the SEC. You know, it's exciting, but then at the same time, it's kind of like, man, you know, what's going to happen with the game against Texas or Oklahoma, Texas Tech? You know, you're kind of missing those rivalries that brewed up over the years. But as far as that, I think it's a good switch going to the SEC. You know, you're going to what's known as one of the best conferences in the country, if not the best. And, you know, and that's what you want. You want to be the best. You know, in order to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's what everybody's saying about the SEC, and I'm excited about A&M going. You know, all the athletes that we have down there, the facilities, the way the program is going, it's about time we get that national spotlight, and I think it's a good move for us.
Yeah, and come on, you guys had to be busting chops on the Longhorns anyway because of that gigantic contract that Texas got, the Texas TV contract. Was that crazy?
Oh yeah, I remember when I first heard about that, and I heard that's really what a lot of the problems I guess stemmed from was that contract. And you know, when I heard about that, I was like, wow, you know, as they're good and all, but I don't know about all that. But you know, that's what they want. That's how they handle it, and we had to go and handle our own business. So that's why we made that move.
Yeah. In the off season, because, you know, now we just went through the whole Super Bowl and whatnot, it was a tough year for the Panthers, tough year for a lot of teams, frankly. We were, as a fan, we were thrilled that we had football back, and I know that all of you were on, and you, I'm sure, like everyone else, was on pins and needles waiting to see what was going to happen. But you finished 6-10, so you forget about that. You come back next season. What do you do in the off season, Jordan?
Oh, man, just off season, you just focus on what you can work on, really. You know, of course, you train to get your body to 100% to its peak performance. But also, you also have to reflect on how the season was, the previous season was. You know, of course, we know we were 6-10, and our record doesn't reflect how good we can be. You know, I think we had, I want to say, 21 guys, significant players put on IR throughout the entire season. And you get those guys back, and you just realize the potential that we have. You know, I think we can be a dangerous team next year, and that does nothing but build excitement for next year.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you, when you, of course, you've got a proud family. I mean, you know, you got lots of family, lots of relatives. Is everyone asking you for tickets all the time when you get in the league?
Oh, of course, yeah. That's my family, man. My family, they're real supportive. Everybody wants to be at a game. Everybody wants to watch the game on TV, whatever it is. And oh, you get the ticket request all the time, but it's not too much, though. You know, family, they respect the fact that I play, and, you know, you get asked a lot. But they do want to go to the games and support.
Yeah. Hey, and speaking of supporting, bravo to you, because now you're in the beginning stages of this. You've already started it, the nonprofit, the Jordan Pugh Pushing Upward, Going Higher, and it's about awarding student-athletes, you know, looking deep and looking to see what they've done. Explain how you started it and what it means to you.
Well, I was sitting down, I'm always at my high school. You know, Coach Hughes, he's always been a big part of what I do, and he's been at every step, high school, college, and pro. So me and my mom, we were sitting down. I was just thinking about a way I could get back to my high school, not just my high school, but just kids in general. And so the thing that we came up with was the Jordan Pugh Pushing Upward, Going Higher Award, and we thought of passion, purpose, and performance. You know, the three things that you really need to excel in anything that you do. And so the biggest thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to give it to someone who was a crucial part of the team, a significant part of the team, who really didn't get a lot of credit, a lot of praise, you know. And so we gave it to a kid named Matt Olesini who excelled academically, who had the passion to play, so had a good academic performance too as well. And so, and also out in the community. So we wanted to get a well-rounded individual who I thought deserved the award. So I sat down with my whole high school coach, Coach Hughes, and we came up with a few names, and we thought he deserved it. And now I'm looking at expanding it. You know, we're still in the working stages of that, but that's the biggest thing around it. Just giving to someone who doesn't get a lot of praise or a lot of notoriety and get it out to someone who really deserves it.
Yeah, and you're looking to maybe expand that to even other places, other schools maybe? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, other schools, even, you know, other nonprofits. Just, you know, it's in the beginning stages. We're working on that. But for this year, that was my biggest focus, was getting after someone, you know, at my high school primarily who just didn't get a lot of that notoriety.
Yeah, awesome. I think it's great. Jordan Pugh, what a delight it's been talking to you. We hope to catch up with you in the near future, and good luck this upcoming season. I know we got a long way, but good luck getting into the next season. We're like you. We want to play. I mean, we want you to play. We want to be out there. We want to be playing fantasy football and watching you. Jordan, thanks so much. It's been fun having you here in America Tonight.
All right, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thanks.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increase, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomet can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomet comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com. Or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome19.com. IncomeAtHome19.com. That's IncomeAtHome19.com.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
The journey starts beneath the stars, I stand alone. I put all my fears to all these years, swept away the known. You know I run this town to be near you.
A lot on America Tonight, of course, with the Iraq War. The statistics just gruesome when we talk about troop casualties overall, 4,486. And when we talk about the wounded, 32,226. And so sad to all of us, of course, 20% of which were serious brain or spinal injuries. Joining us now, he's actually in our virtual green room, is Dr. Todd Baker. He knows all about this because he left his wife and his young daughter, infant daughter, in fact, back in 2007 to join the 86th Combat Support Hospital for his, you ready for this, folks? His 15th month tour in Iraq. 15 months he went to war. But how scary was it? I don't know that anyone's actually prepared for that. Doc, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you've got a book out called Baghdad ER, 15 Minutes. And you talk about in this book the traumas, of course, and I mentioned the statistics. But you also talk about some of the triumphs that you saw and what you faced in that country as well. What was the toughest thing day one on the job that you think people just didn't understand was going on there?
Oh, that's easy. Day one, we arrived there. In Baghdad to replace the 28th Combat Support Hospital, and we weren't touching any patients. We were going to overlap for 7 days and just watch them work and see how the system worked. And first patient that they laid there and laid on the bed in the trauma room, 19-year-old American soldier, detonated bomb, had both of her arms blown off at the elbows and burns all over her face. And just watching that team that had been there 15 months resuscitate, you know, this American hero. And there was no panic. There was no, you know, somebody screaming, I need this, I need this. It was just watching a machine in action. And in 12 minutes, they had 6 units of blood, large IVs into her. She was intubated, put on a breathing machine, and en route to the operating room. Unlike anything we had ever seen. And we're all looking at each other, essentially saying, okay, what's your name again? You know, we're going to be doing this.
Yeah, exactly. So you knew, I mean, you right the second you were in there, you knew it was pretty much going to be that way the entire time. And was it like that? I mean, was it really just a MASH unit everywhere you went?
It was pretty steady. We got there midway through the troop surge there at the end of 2007. And then it ramped up quite a bit with the Al-Sadr uprising in the spring of 2008 for several weeks. But then after that, Al-Sadr had called, he called a ceasefire and it just stopped. It died. The effect of the troop surge came in and our volume dropped tremendously by the time we had left.
Yeah. And seeing the volume drop like that, did that give you more time to spend maybe with patients or follow up to see how somebody was doing? Because I could imagine that this touched you. For example, the first story you just told me, were you curious? I know that's not the mentality when you have to treat, but did you get any follow ups on any of the patients?
We did on a few, but to be honest with you, you know, we put over 4,000 patients through there, and these weren't minor broken bones. These are, you know, really sick people. And, you know, part of the job was, I don't know names, I don't know anything like that. You know, I've got a hero in front of me, and I either saved them, and I say, our team either saved them or they didn't. And to be honest with you, we didn't get just a ton of follow-up.
Yeah. I mentioned the brain injuries at the top. What were most of the injuries that the patients that you treated, what were most of them suffering from?
The trauma patients we saw, most of them were IED injuries, gunshot wounds, rocket attacks, and the EFP, the explosively formed penetrators. And so the injuries we would see with most of those devices other than a gunshot wound would be amputation. So amputated arms and legs, that was our big thing that we saw all day, every day there for a long time.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine there were some incredible techniques that you learned and used in those military hospitals, because you mentioned how many amputations that you had to work on and perfecting that, I'm sure. What were some of the techniques that that you could tell us about that you used, that you learned there?
excuse me. Absolutely. Number one, tourniquets in the field. And by the time I got there in 2007, you know, we fell into a system that was already in place. You know, nothing special about us. This is the system the military had put into place to take care of their soldiers. And these guys would all come in with 1, 2, 3, or 4 tourniquets on to stop the bleeding. And then we had blood waiting for them before they arrived. And so as fast as a nurse, medic, or one of our docs could get a line into a patient, sometimes within 60 seconds of arrival of the patient to our ER, we had blood going back into the body. Absolutely amazing the way that saved lives, and that's been adapted and now in big trauma centers in the U.S. That's now standard practice.
Yeah, wasn't the survival rate pretty good? I thought I read somewhere where it was like 96% for the people that came, you know, got out of Baghdad, the ER, Baghdad ER, how they survived, right?
Yes, ma'am. During our time, we had a 96% American soldier survival rate, but it wasn't just us. The 28th cache before us had the exact same, and units before them. Once again, so to me, it's just a testament of the system that had been put into place, and all of us were essentially cogs in a wheel.
Yeah. Did you ever come under any kind of fire while you were trying to save the heroes that you were mentioning?
We did. We were mortared a time or two, but essentially during the Al-Sadr uprising in the spring of 2008, we came under rocket fire pretty continuously for about a 6 to 8 week period, multiple volleys of 2 to 10 rockets at a time, multiple times per day, were headed our direction. And there were even times that our ER was evacuated out down to essential personnel only. And I can tell you, not one time did any of my team leave. They all stayed there to take care of our soldiers that we had.
Yeah. And you mentioned a couple times your team. So was it like a family to you?
Oh, it's still a family to me. We had 3 physicians. I just happened to be the highest ranking guy, so that just made me the chief by default. We had 9 nurses and 16 medics. But the interesting thing was, of the three physicians none of us had deployed before, out of our nine nurses, four were straight out of school. And our 16 medics, we only had three that had any combat experience whatsoever. And so we were very young and very green heading into that situation. And we grew together. You know, we cried together, we laughed together, and we grew together as a family. And, you know, we weren't all that great at first. And within a couple of months, we were good.
Yeah. Hey, you said you laughed together. So you must have had some lighthearted moments, obviously. Doctors are known for pranks. Did you just forget about the surroundings? And when you could, to loosen things up, were people joking, pulling pranks and jokes on each other?
Well, we always did that kind of stuff. And, a buddy of mine from college even sent me a remote control General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard to drive around. So I would drive that around just to get laughs out of people. And we had a good time as much as we could.
Wow. So the reaction when you drove that around, did it just automatic laughs?
Well, actually, people would start singing the song. From the Dukes of Hazzard. That's what I got more than anything.
Good for you. Good for him for doing that. So now you make the transition. You come back. What was that like transitioning from the craziness of the Baghdad ER to working back in a U.S. hospital?
Well, kind of on two different levels. First, my 5-month-old daughter, when I left her, she was 5 months and 21 months when I came back. So I kind of felt like the man that had moved in with mommy, if that makes sense. She really did not warm up to me for about a year or so until after I returned. On the job side, it's actually, you know, as an emergency physician, I'm happy to take care of everybody. Obviously, a lot different types of injuries I see here than I saw in Baghdad. Sometimes I struggle to relate to somebody that's kind of worked up over a minor injury, and I'm just thinking in my head, you know, boy, you know, the things I could tell you, you know. But it's worked out okay.
Now, the book, and I mentioned the book at the top, in called Baghdad ER, you're going to give some of this money to a great cause, the Wounded Warrior Foundation. Tell people a little bit more about that, because I'm not sure everybody knows that program.
Oh, it's a wonderful foundation that not only helps our troops when they come home, but then helps them afterward. It's kind of, you know, everybody's there to support them in the first month or two or 3 months once these heroes come back wounded. But this organization is there a year later and 2 years later and really makes a difference in the lives of our heroes. And I can't say enough about them. The amazing things that I see them do, and they're a very worthy cause, and I'm honored to do so.
So if people get it on Amazon because it's Baghdad ER, then automatically a percentage of that would end up going to the cause.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
And then you can also get a signed copy at my website, Baghdad ER.
Oh, terrific. Well, thank you so much for everything that you did for the people that you met along the way, and now transitioning back into our hospital system as well. We appreciate it. Dr. Baker, you have a great night.
You too. Thank you for having me.